This is Beyond the Beltway. 2 hours of political and otherwise conversation with a panel of experts and not-so-experts emanating live from Chicago, Illinois. Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Scher, filling in for your weekly host, Bruce Dumont. Glad to have you with us across this great country of ours. We will be talking about everything you hear from political pundits and just everyday Americans. Beyond the Beltway, we are not, obviously, in Washington, D.C., well west of there here in Chicago, Illinois. Our program, as always, every week, every Sunday at this time, originates from the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
And again, Bruce would say, on State Street,
that great street.
The Radio Hall of Fame.
I just want to say, the Museum of Broadcast Communications, the home of the Radio Hall of Fame. Inductions, by the way, for the Radio Hall of Fame coming up this fall. You can get more information on the Museum of Broadcast Communications website. The keywords are very simple. Museum of Broadcast Communications. And, of course, you can get our absolute, exact, precise website, which we'll give to you later in the program. And you can always reach us here on Beyond the Beltway. We'll have all the websites for you, give you all that information during the program. Again, my name is Tom Scher. Glad to have you with us tonight. And that first voice, other than mine, which you heard, was Professor Charles Lipson of the University of Chicago, an occasional guest on this show and a very friendly fellow in these parts.
Well, thanks.
Professor. Thanks. The other voice was Kathy Posner, a civic leader in Chicago, retired advertising and publicity executive, who sits on, among others, the Chicago Commission on Human Relations. Kathy, good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
Remember the words I uttered once when we were waiting for a press conference to start?
Bernard Schott to be thrown out of baseball.
Yes, there were many false starts to the press conference, and finally, when we realized the press conference was actually beginning hours later than it was planned, you remember what I said to tell everybody it was real?
It was the words at Pearl Harbor. Now I can't remember the exact words.
Air raid Pearl Harbor.
Right.
This is no drill.
Right.
Kathy and I have been through many things. And Professor Art Sear of Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for those of you inside the Beltway, Kenosha is between Chicago and Milwaukee heading north on I-94. Professor Sear is the director of the A.W. Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College. Professor Sear, good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Very nice to have you here. And, of course, if you're in the West Coast, and we have many, many listeners in Sacramento, California, and Fresno, California, and points beyond, it is just after 4 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, so it's really not quite evening. But it's a little after 6 in the Midwest, and, of course, a little after 7.
It's pretty late in Fresno.
East Coast. Yeah, it's always late in Fresno, it seems sometimes. We will be taking your telephone calls. We'll give you the telephone number also coming up in just a moment to call Beyond the Beltway. And you may want to write it down, 1-800-723-8289, 1-800-723-8289. We'll open the phone lines a little bit later in this portion of the program. Well, so much has happened this week. So much has happened this summer. It hasn't been a quiet summer because of the terrorist bombings in London. Now a word from CNN, a report, according to a source who was present during interrogations this weekend, says that a bombing suspect in Italian custody has told his interrogators that the failed July 21st bombings in London were not linked to the lethal attacks of July 7th, nor are they linked to Al-Qaeda. Hussein Osman, who is also known as Hamdi Issak, said the four men who partially detonated backpack bombs before running from their targets on July 21st were not working for the bombers who had killed themselves and 52 travelers during the three London Underground train bombings and the bus bombing back on July 7th. Osman also claimed that the July 21st group was not working for Al-Qaeda. Osman reportedly told authorities the bombs were meant to draw attention to anger over the war in Iraq, but they were not intended to kill anyone. Quote, I am against the war, end quote, the source quoted Osman as saying. I've marched in peace rallies and nobody listened to me. I never thought of killing people. Osman was arrested in Rome on Friday after investigators traced his travels by monitoring cell phone activity from England to France to Italy, all across Europe. What do we make of this? Professors first. Charles?
Well, I am not surprised to find that it's a copycat crime rather than an Al-Qaeda crime for several reasons.
It looked that way from the beginning.
Yeah. First of all, the tradecraft at every level was very poor. Al-Qaeda, one thing we know about Al-Qaeda is that they are meticulous in their planning. We had learned fairly early on that the bomb materials looked to be different. It looked to be made by a different bomb maker. The fact that they weren't caught, were on the run, and made a series of mistakes where they called people, those could be monitored and so forth, looked very different from Al-Qaeda. The real issue now, it seems to me, is who sent the Al-Qaeda bombers, who were the masterminds behind this, because the useful idiots were the ones who actually went out and blew themselves up. So somebody actually made the bombs, somebody planned all of this. We don't know how many secret cells there are. That's what the big problem is.
Al-Qaeda is going to be, I think, increasingly decentralized. It's always been a very decentralized organization. That's one reason it's so successful.
This is Professor Art Sear of Carthage College.
Quoting Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, who within the last year, I think, has said more frequently, we can expect Al-Qaeda to become more and more diffuse. And even if we got Osama bin Laden, that wouldn't in any meaningful sense decapitate the organization.
That was true, wasn't it, Art, about the Madrid bombings? I mean, as far as we know, the Madrid bombings, though they were Al-Qaeda related, central Al-Qaeda people didn't know about them until after the bombs had actually gone off.
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's extremely important to be cautious,
because it's almost impossible to get reliable intelligence. It's almost impossible.
That's right. And a lot of people who are active in movements like this and who want to be active are people who are not entirely sane. There's also willful deception. I would be willing to bet that in terms of major operations, Osama bin Laden remains very actively involved.
Osama bin Laden, I remember him. He's the guy we've been trying to get for almost 4 years.
Well, his nickname is the accountant, yeah. I gather, in the inner circles, because he not only because he has a degree in business administration, but you have to write a very thorough terrorist business plan that he will sign off on before you get the money.
If I may get, as the plain-speaking American and non-professor here, I'll get the phones ringing by saying...
mudslinging.
I believe
again.
That they're...
mudslinging.
You're one of two non-professors here, though, Kathy, so welcome to my side of the table.
I'm a member of Mensa, though, so I think I'm more on this side of the table. I'll get the phones ringing, though, by saying I believe in racial profiling, and if we have to worry, I don't mean the word racial profiling, we should be profiling people to see what their background is, and we also, I don't think we have strong enough security in the United States.
Well,
the same thing could happen here.
Well, the discussion of profiling emanates from the security work done not only in Europe but also here. How you go about rounding people up, how the entire procedure. Profiling, though, in this country has been an issue for years. This is not something new.
You've heard the DWB, driving while black, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people feel like they are profiled, and wrongly so. People who are real experts on dealing with security matters like this talk about behavioral profiling rather than profiling related to the specifics of how somebody looks. And remember, these people that we're dealing with are smart and adaptive. If you start, if you don't pat down people in wheelchairs, they'll get somebody with a wheelchair and they'll pack the explosives on that. So in other words, they'll adapt to what you do.
Well, here's my not even a concern, but my area of interest is what people feel about this issue of profiling and how safe and secure they do or do not feel in light of what happened in London, in light of what happened here on September 11th, 2001, et cetera, et cetera. So we will talk about some of that and a lot more. We're, of course, always interested in your feelings and thoughts. 1-800-723-8289. You are listening to Beyond the Beltway.
Rose Bynum, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on a company with bigger responsibilities.
I believe we have to do more than just develop drugs. We have to try to help people who need them get them. I couldn't work for a company that didn't believe the same thing. I've been at GSK 17 years. Believe me, we're here to help everyone.
To learn about our access programs, call 1-888-825-5249. GlaxoSmithKline.
Hi. I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Thank you.
Beyond the Beltway continues on a radio station near you. We're glad to have you with us on this Sunday. Coming to you from Chicago, I'm Tom Scher. Pinch hitting for Bruce Dumont, who's getting a well-deserved week off. Our panel of experts and non-experts, we all call ourselves one thing or the other from minute to minute here on this show, include Kathy Posner, civic leader in Chicago and retired advertising and promotion executive, Professor Art Sear of Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Professor Charles Lipson, the University of Chicago. And by the way, for those of you not familiar with my work, I'm a humble sportscaster of ESPN Radio in Chicago who has an interest in all matters of facing this world of ours, and it's always flattering when Bruce asks if I'll fill in. I'm more than happy to do it. If you want any information regarding the Museum of Broadcast Communications, the studios from which we originate this program every Sunday, it's very simple. The website is museum.tv, www.museum.tv, and you can reach this program anytime. BeyondTheBeltway.com, www.BeyondTheBeltway.com. All right, let's open the telephone lines. Our number is 1-800-723-8289, 1-800-723-8289, and we do so while asking the following questions. Number one, do you feel secure from terrorism here in the United States of America? Kathy opined before the break that she does not. Also, are we more vulnerable to attacks now than before, since the nature of the attacks, the type of the attacks, could be changing? Al-Qaeda hit the Twin Towers in 2001. There have been no attacks on American soil since, but of course we have seen what's happened in Madrid and most recently in London. 1-800-723-8289, and we'll talk to our panel here for a moment before we go to the phone calls and take calls from San Diego, California, and points beyond. Professor Sear,
beyond, they're in the water, aren't they?
Well, that would be if you're going west. That's right. Never thought of that. Your thoughts, why haven't we been hit? I believe we've been vigilant, and I also realize it takes time. Security force, law enforcement has been vigilant. It also takes time to plan and execute such an attack. They had planned the Twin Towers attack for years.
Well, the Bush administration takes credit and should take credit for the fact that we haven't had another strike in the U.S. A very good colleague of Professor Lipson's, Bob Pape, has worked intensively on these matters, and according to what he describes and our government recognizes as authentic al-Qaeda documents collected by Norwegian intelligence, their plan, and as Charles was saying, it's a very thorough and far-sighted organization. Their plan is not to attack within the U.S., at least for the time being, and to concentrate on secondary targets like Britain and Spain, allies of the U.S. that can be peeled away.
Russia.
Go ahead. Yeah.
The Russia issue is quite important, but I took the attacks in London as being attacks on a very soft target. I mean, in other words, soft targets being things like places where people gather to purchase goods or travel on the subways and things like that. I mean, this required a lot less planning, it seemed to me, than taking all these airplanes and driving them into large buildings. Does this tell us something?
Our British friends have been criticized a lot, and not just by hardline Americans, for being as open as they have been to immigration, and anti-immigrant leaders in Europe, and it's an important movement, have pointed the finger especially at the British for being too open, too tolerant. Partly for that reason, I think it's important to stress how good the British are at intelligence, at counter-terrorist activities, and I've been impressed at how quickly they've been able to catch perpetrators. If you know anything about the Second World War, where we followed the British lead consistently, as did the other allies, in spearheading smart, shrewd intelligence, this is not at all surprising.
Yeah, the OSS, which was the forerunner of the CIA, was patterned after the British intelligence agencies, because we had virtually no intelligence gathering.
Well, there you go. You know the subject well. Yes. That's very impressive.
Thank you. For just a humble sports guy, not bad.
Yeah.
I never met a humble sportscaster, I must say. This is a first.
That is a contradiction in terms,
but
yes.
You're saying that the British
only
have...
in the first inning. Yes.
The British have such tremendous intelligence, yet the bombing still did occur.
Well,
as an American, I'm scared. I have to take a trip to D.C. soon to do something, and I'm scared getting on a plane to D.C.
Even with no attacks in nearly 4 years.
That's right. I'm scared all the time. I don't travel nearly as much as I used to. It also scares me. My sister works for the State Department and lives in Europe.
I think Kathy is in the distinct minority here. Go ahead.
I just flew into D.C. I traveled a lot on the subways. I got it completely ready for you, Kathy, and I think you'll be safe. I think that one of the point about terrorism is that it's designed to terrorize. It's designed to have the effect that you say. And one of the things that we know from lots of studies is that rare events, an airplane crash, for example, something like that, has a disproportionate effect so that the fact that these planes were destroyed two great buildings in New York had a devastating effect on the whole airline industry for a long time. It led many people to take car trips and probably cost a lot more lives through automobile accidents. We know that the point of terrorism is to terrorize, and to the extent that what you're saying is that people could strike on subways and so forth, you're absolutely right. I was just in Boston as well.
But it hasn't
in
happened.
Boston, they checked our trunks as we went into a regular parking garage. Is that being done?
Oh, it's done in the United States. It's done in Chicago.
It happened to me at the Hancock Tower.
It has.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sure. There's signs out in garages downtown Chicago that say, please be prepared.
This is a real cost to America, by the way. This is a real cost.
Oh, absolutely.
At Boston Center, we have two basic strategies for developing our program. One of them is analyzing the local and regional economy to add value and frankly, draw attention to our institution. Tourism in Wisconsin, where I work, has gone up markedly, especially in the first 2 years after September 11th, because people are taking driving trips.
I see.
There's some evidence that's fading now, but in line with Kathy's point, an awful lot of people change their travel plans.
And I find that very sad, but part of the realism of it. We're going to take some phone calls now. We'll also get into that issue of racial profiling, but just profiling in general, as law enforcement tries to do its job. We have not certainly put that issue to bed. Let's say hi to John in San Diego, California. You're first on Beyond the Beltway on this Sunday, the last Sunday in July. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Listen, I think profiling is the only real substantive answer to this. It may not work totally. They may adjust or adapt or try to find people who don't look.
Are you referring to profiling, John?
Yeah.
Okay, and John is listening, by the way, from San Diego on KOGO. Kogo, go ahead.
Okay. It seems like to me if we make them adjust or adapt their techniques to try to maybe find white somebody that looks white to become the next wave of bombers, it provides a chance for us to infiltrate and provide an intel that maybe we wouldn't be able to get because they are, a certain.
Well, that brings up some distinct possibilities about that. Yeah, that is definitely possible. I don't know, how long that would take. It would seem to me to be highly unlikely that there would be that much recruitment of someone who doesn't look like a terrorist, because how many of those people are there out there who really would want? I mean, we had that one guy, forget his name, who the American who wanted to work for Al-Qaeda.
Well, there are a lot of people who are converts of one sort or another, but I think that there's a balance that has to be struck here. On the one hand, you want to go after the people who you think have the highest likelihood of being the bad guys. On the other hand, it's precisely that community that we don't want to alienate, because we need a lot of cooperation from people in that community to turn in the bad guys. If we have real resistance, if this becomes a war of people who look one way against people who look another way,
that's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing in almost every sense.
I think that's a great point. I haven't heard the outcry. I have not heard the outcry from, and I want to be careful here. I want to be very careful. I don't want to pay, and I am, by the way, an Arab American. I'm an Arab Christian. I'm Catholic. I'm 100% Lebanese Catholic. My four grandparents were born in Lebanon. So I don't want to paint Muslims or anyone who practices Islam. I don't want to paint anybody with a broad brush, but frankly speaking, I have not heard an outcry from that community saying we want to help as much as we can. I've heard a significant level of objection to terrorism, and we believe in America. There are a lot of the vast majority of people in this country are law-abiding, including all the Islamic population here. But I've heard more objection to the hunting down of some of this through charities that have questionable dealings and all. Then I have heard a collective, we're behind you. And I want to be careful when I say that. Professor,
at least one major American Muslim organization has passed a very public resolution condemning terrorism and supporting the war against Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed by the very ecumenical, very large and moving service that the Bush administration held quite wisely in the National Cathedral right after September 11th.
Yes.
I thought that was very, very smart. I'm not aware. I mean, you hear a lot of complaining in the media because that's the nature of the media.
Yeah, that's true.
But don't you think that Tom is right? I mean, that in fact, there's been more in the way of kind of complaints from the Arab American community, the Muslim American community, then we want to stop this. Now, my sense, for example,
and I'm referring to the investigative efforts. I haven't heard a lot of support for the specific investigative efforts.
The Bush administration made this worse by the way that they handled a lot of it, kind of ham-handed.
Yeah.
Of course, that's going to be bad for both Muslims and Jews when you do it ham-handed. But the initial way that they did a lot of interrogations and so forth seemed to target the whole community, and my sense is that it built up a lot of resistance. But let me give you an example of what happened this past week. There was a big fatwa against all of this terrorism from the Muslim community. It didn't name any specific organizations. It was the most vague kind of, it was against things in general. Yeah. And hey, this happened 4 years ago.
We acknowledge there's been a declaration, but you'd like something more specific.
I'd like them to say that there are some specific bad guys. They didn't name any of them.
As would I. Now what we're going to do is take a brief time out here on Beyond the Beltway. Our phone lines are jammed. If you are waiting to get on the air, we will get you on. And if you're waiting to call in, we'll let you know when we have some more open lines. Coming to you from Chicago, Tom Scher in for Bruce Dumont on this Sunday.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry skin on my arms. Skin Zinc helps. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5904. That's 800-507-5904. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5904. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5904.
Beyond the Beltway continues. We appreciate your listening in Chicago, Illinois on WLS, the Big 89, in Boston, Massachusetts, Seattle, Washington, Kansas City, Missouri, and San Diego, California, just to name a few of our affiliate locations each week. Bruce Dumont is off. I'm Tom Scher, joined this week by Professor Art Sear of Carthage College, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Professor Charles Lipson of the University of Chicago, and Kathy Posner, civic leader in Chicago and a retired advertising and promotion executive. We're going to go immediately back to the telephone lines and say hi to Barry from Bloomington, Illinois, listening on WLS. Hi, Barry.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Welcome to Beyond the Beltway.
Thank you.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
I called up because I was listening to what you guys were saying about the racial profiling thing. With the war on terror, I think racial profiling is pretty unavoidable. I mean, if you're looking for a Latino suspect in a murder, you don't profile Arabs, you don't profile blacks, you profile the particular race that you're looking for. But like one of the other people said, that, you know, they are getting other types of races to join in, so it's not foolproof. You can't just pull over every person and you don't want internment camps or anything. That would be, I don't know. Extreme.
Well, there are those who said this week that internment camps for Arab Americans would be the next step. Now, I think that's just hyperbole, because anybody with a brain knows that that would never happen in this country. We did it once, the Japanese, in the 1940s. It was wrong, and we ended up paying financial reparations 35, 40 years later, 50, almost 50 years later. But my point is that that, I think, is extreme, in my opinion. I would suspect that will never happen.
Actually, the news is on all of this is quite the opposite and quite good. It's that there's been no rise in anti-Muslim sentiment in the country, no rise in anti-Arab sentiment, anti-Arab American sentiment, and so forth. The Pew Center for Religion and Public Life has done surveys. They're showing a very steady, and I think a very tolerant America. So the issue is how to combine our sense of tolerance, which is a fundamental value that we want to encourage, with better intelligence so that we can do preemptive action without isolating one group and without devastating our civil liberties.
Well, I think you're exactly right, because you have to have local intelligence. We're spending way too much time looking abroad instead of looking domestically and trying to secure.
That's right, and that has to come partly from the communities that are the where the suspects are.
Barry, what you're saying is we need to do a better job of intelligence gathering and law enforcement effort in this country.
And that takes funding. It takes local. It takes local, state, and federal. It's not just the federal government's job to protect us from being attacked. It's all of us.
No argument there. And I would say that if someone is truly against terrorism, that they will provide whatever information they think is useful. Let law enforcement sort it out. But you're not protecting your community or your culture if you do not, turn somebody in if you think they ought to be. Let law enforcement sort it out. Go ahead, Kathy.
I just have to disagree with what the professor just said about where he said he didn't feel, or studies also have shown that there isn't any backlash, there isn't any anti-Arab sentiment, any anti-Muslim sentiment. I totally disagree. I think that people are afraid to say it because they're afraid that they're going to look like racists. So if they are called to be part of a survey or they're part of a study, they sit there and act like everything is fine. Yet plain-speaking Americans and people in their own homes are scared.
But Kathy makes a good point and an important one. For that reason, I think anecdotal evidence becomes even more important. I work in a relatively rural and traditional industrial and farming community. And
it's
Kenosha,
Wisconsin, right, which for those of you inside the Beltway is halfway between Chicago and Milwaukee, if you're just joining us.
And,
thank you.
And he has a pitchfork, even as we speak.
There is a... That's why I like coming on this program. I can get out of the rocking chair and put the shotgun up.
You're in the big city now, Professor. Harry Carey's restaurant's right across the street.
The
point you can get a drink there on a Sunday.
The point I was trying to make, and which you're all helping me make, is that there's one convenience store on Highway 50 that's run by a couple, I would estimate, are Sikhs, actually, not Muslims. But they seem Arab, and all kinds of people, including some biker types, I noticed, went out of their way to be unusually polite and gracious to these people after the attacks. The even in World War II, the internment of the Japanese, as you know, I'm sure, was very much a West Coast phenomenon, very much sparked by one man, the Attorney General of California, Earl Warren.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Who went on to be governor and
Supreme Court Justice.
Right, and Republican VP nominee in 48. Roosevelt didn't want to do it. He was particularly irritated by ambitious Republican politicians who tried to flank him, but of course he didn't oppose it. Politicians reflect us, for better and worse, and so far there are politicians who've tried to exploit anti-Muslim or anti-Arab sentiment, but they haven't gone anywhere.
Kathy, so Kathy's point that she is scared and people are scared has not translated into unfairness.
No, I'm old enough to have seen remarkable growth and tolerance in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And I can remember very clearly the 60s and, you know, a sort of general racism in the United States that's faded to a remarkable degree.
Let's say hi to Satish in Lafayette, Indiana, listening on WLS, which booms out of Chicago. Satish, you're on Beyond the Beltway. Good evening.
Good evening, Tom. Nice to hear a sportscaster talking what you're talking about. I listen to you on ESPN Dallas quite often.
Well, you see, life is not just runs, hits, and errors, although I was thrilled to watch the Baseball Hall of Fame induction.
Metaphor.
That's one more thing, that you're from Lebanon. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, my grandparents were born there, yes.
Good. Here's my
and
point.
You know what? I make my own tabbouleh. You like tabbouleh?
Oh, yeah. I like the falafel.
Yeah, that's a great salad that I make, and we'll mix it with a little falafel because you have the fat and you have the fiber. That's good. Go ahead, Satish.
Okay, I'm originally from India, and I could easily pass off to an American security official at the airport. I could pass off as a Pakistani or an Indian Muslim or, for that matter, even as an Egyptian or Arab, because most Caucasian security people cannot distinguish these nationalities.
Of course, yes.
And I fly a lot within the country, and 3 out of 4 times, I am pulled out of the security for the random check. I have absolutely no problem. Reason?
Okay.
If I'm being checked, or suspected terrorists who look like me are being checked, I know my flight is going to land safely. And for that, I'm willing to give up a little of my freedom.
Good point. So you know that you are being pulled out of line, not because of any activity you've engaged in or any research they've done on you, but basically because of your physical appearance.
Absolutely. And let me add one more thing.
And you're okay with a little inconvenience if it's in the name of security.
Security and safety for the rest of us.
That is my feeling on the subject precisely, but I'm glad to hear you say that, Satish. So, what were you about to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, the security thing which does not work is, when I get my boarding pass, I can tell you whether I'm going to be frisked or not. Hmm. You know how? And anyone else who wants to be a terrorist will find out. If I can find out that, anyone can. You will find the letter S typed out 4 times on your boarding pass. If you're carrying some arms, you're going to dump it before you get checked.
Huh.
So there is a fallacy there.
Well, again, I think your point is, though, that you're willing to put up with some inconvenience if it's in the name of security.
Absolutely. And I want to agree with Kathy. In my workforce, I work with 1,500 Caucasian people here. I have discussed openly about the religion Muslim and do they have any hard feelings. And after knowing me very well, people have discreetly told me, yes, we have a problem with these guys.
Yeah.
But they won't say it to a... official.
They're telling you honestly, once they get to know you, that they have a problem with Islam in general or with the extremists who want to kill people.
They have a point that Islam is fine, it's peaceful, but why don't the majority of Muslims issue a fatwa? It was done only 4 years later, just recently. It was very late,
exactly.
But they were asking for 4 years back.
They were asking for the Islamic community to speak out more strongly against terror.
Too little, too late.
And I have one last point.
Yes.
These people who confide in me and talk about not liking the terrorists or the people who are Muslim, they would not dislike them so much as to go down and burn down a mosque or to beat a Muslim on the street. No,
right.
They won't do that.
Right, right. We are beyond that, I suspect. Thank you, Satish, for the call from Lafayette, Indiana.
Yeah,
Kathy.
I am a short, chubby, white person, and I get profiled probably every third time. When I say profiled, I get pulled out of line about every third time at the gate where they pull you over to the side and run the stuff up and down on you. And, I mean, I don't have enough strength to do anything. I'm a hugely lazy person, so there's no way I'd be carrying a bomb.
They're probably just doing a makeup call to balance out the numbers there. But hey, look, I've had to take my shoes off. I don't know if they still make you do
they
that.
Do every time
I haven't been on
fly.
An airplane in about a year, but
yeah.
They take your shoes. It's inconvenient. What do I care? I've told these guys, do whatever you want. I don't care. I went to, this is long before 9/11. I went to the Capitol Rotunda, and I had a gym bag. And I put it down in the corner of the rotunda, and I was just walking around looking at the paintings. And within about 10 seconds, two security guys came up to me and asked me to come with them. They said, there's your bag. My bag wasn't out of my eyesight. I just didn't want to carry it around. And they basically told me that, you know, you can't do that. That's very suspicious. We're going to search it. We're going to search you. Where are you? Who are you from? And I said, buddy, I got no problem. I understand perfectly where you're coming from. If I thought for a moment, I would have, of course you can't leave a package in a government building anywhere, you know. And I was inconvenienced, and I was delayed, and my visit was made less pleasant, and my reaction was, no problem, you're doing your job. Let me say hi to Eric on the line here. And that was long before 9/11, about 10 years before 9/11. Eric from Bronson, Michigan, listening on 1190 AM to Beyond the Beltway.
How you doing today?
Yes, sir, fine, thank you.
I live in Bronson, Michigan. I grew up in south suburb of Chicago.
All right.
My biggest thing is, do I feel safe in this country? Yes, I do.
Okay.
But my biggest question is, why were they riding the Minutemen so hard?
I'm sorry?
Because people in Arizona.
Right, the Minutemen who want to control the borders. A
nonviolent
group that is very concerned about illegal cross-border immigration.
Okay, so why have they been criticized so much? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Because the president...
They're out there helping guys that cannot handle the border.
The president of the United States gave them a big boost by complaining about them. He called them vigilantes and sort of verbally gave them the back of his hand, reinforcing an image that some people have of Bush as the corporate president rather than the regular middle America Republican president, the corporate president. The White House has gone to great lengths to backpedal from that. I think we saw something of the real George Bush in that, but he gave them a huge boost.
I think it was great.
I think the Republicans are caught between a rock and a hard place on immigration issues because if they alienate... If they alienate the Hispanics, they won't be a majority of the party.
George Bush is the corporate president. If you look at that energy bill that he's going to be signing, it's pretty obvious to me who he's out for. This is Beyond the Beltway. We're glad to have you with us. We will take more of your telephone calls right here.
You've seen it in the newspapers, heard it on the radio, watched it on TV. The good news about Aleve. The good news about the strength and safety of Aleve. That just two Aleve can stop arthritis pain all day. No wonder Aleve is the number one pharmacist recommended pain reliever for the sixth year in a row. Ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Pharmacy Time survey among leading OTC oral medications for minor arthritis pain. Use as directed.
I'm a hypocrite. No, I'm not a vegetarian that wears leather shoes. You see, I used to smoke pot, and when I found pot in my kid's room, I confronted him about it. It would have been easier to look the other way and not feel like a hypocrite, but I'm his dad, and he's not allowed to smoke pot, period. It might be hard, but to help your kid with their problem, first you have to get over yours.
Action. The anti-drug.
Hypocritical? Yeah, that's me.
For more information, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800, sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Beyond the Beltway continues on this Sunday, the last Sunday in July. We welcome you if you're listening in El Paso, Texas, Fresno, California, Spokane, Washington, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, or Birmingham, Alabama, not to mention Worcester, Massachusetts, and Lynchburg, Virginia. Those are just some of our affiliate locations. Every week, Bruce Dumont is usually your host. I'm Tom Scher, filling in for Bruce. on this particular Sunday. I suppose pinch hitting is very appropriate because today was the day of the Baseball Hall of Fame inductions, and it was just a wonderful day in Cooperstown, New York. If you had a chance to catch any of
Chicago
the...
Chicago happened to have anybody in that.
Oh, a fellow by the name of Ryan Sandberg, who played all his career, except for one
I've heard of him,
for the Chicago Cubs, and he is in the Hall of Fame, as is Wade Boggs of the Boston Red Sox, and a media member, two media members were honored as well. Just a wonderful day, and we are getting an opportunity to talk about things not at all sports, because this is beyond the Beltway, as we talk and give analysis of national politics and issues, international issues, with occasional injections of rumor and innuendo. I love
from,
the way
from the Radio Hall of Fame. So you were talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's
we're here
point.
In the Radio Hall of Fame in the Museum of Broadcast Communication.
That's indeed correct. And our panelists again this week, that was Kathy Posner. Charles Lipson is with us, and Art Sear, and we are taking your telephone calls at 1-800-723-8289. Let's say hi to Mike in San Diego, California, listening on KOGO, K-O-G-O. Hey, Mike, Jerry Coleman, your San Diego Padres broadcaster, went into the Hall of Fame today.
Yes, he did. We're really proud of him there. He's done a lot of work there for San Diego Padres there.
Yeah, and he was a fighter pilot in World War II and Korea.
Yes,
a Marine pilot, just a distinguished American, a great American, Jerry Coleman, and we congratulate him. What's on your mind this evening? We've discussed profiling and the hunt for terrorism. We touched a little bit on President Bush a moment ago. We've talked a lot about the situation with the terrorist attacks in London and the fact that nothing has happened in nearly 4 years here in the United States. Go right ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, I like to go back to profiling there. I like to bring up the fact about the country of Israel, which has suffered through lots of bombings for the last several years there. And your panel has not discussed them, and I'm sure they're experts on racial profiling. I'd also like to say that if we ever had bombings here in the United States, I do believe that the American people would rise up and exact vengeance on the Muslim and Arab people there. And it'd be a sad day when that happens there. So I'd hope that when the Muslim community and the Arab community would make a decision, are they Americans or are they Islam? Or are they going to be Islamic? Are they Islamic religion? And
I think you can be both. I don't think any reasonable person would say you cannot be both.
Well, we have to make a decision because we never saw a condemnation there of the 9/11 terrorist bombings there. There never really was here in the United States.
Not strongly enough from the entire community united. That I would agree, and I think all of us go. Okay, well,
I want to bring up
Kathy,
an Israel thing.
Kathy first, and then Professor Art Sear. Go ahead.
Okay,
Kathy.
I sit on the American board of Sheir Zedek Medical Center of Jerusalem. That hospital is the number one hospital in Jerusalem and throughout all of Israel of trying to save terrorist victims. In fact, we just completed a multi. I think it was $50 million emergency room that we built underground. This hospital serves all people who come to it, whether they're Arabs, whether they're Jews, whether they're Muslims. There are doctors that are Jewish. There are doctors that are Arab. It would be interesting for me if maybe someone will call in. I would wonder, in one of the Arab countries, would they treat a Jew that was a terrorist victim? But in Israel, they will treat victims of all races.
All right. My point, wondering about as what Mike raised, was he said either you're going to be an American or you're going to be someone who practices that religion. I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive at all.
No, but it's a pretty old refrain in American politics. There was a very strong party called the Know Nothing Party in the 19th century that was very anti-Catholic. Unless you think this is just ancient history, unhappiness, anxiety about the Pope running America was an issue in American politics until John Kennedy punctured the balloon in 60, and it was gone. In fairness to Muslim Americans, my impression is that the Muslim community is not nearly as centralized as the Roman Catholic community and other, partly because it's such a large and diverse population, even within the United States.
But I think that that's right, and I think that the idea that people would have to choose between their religion and their country is wrong. It's a charge that's been made against Catholics, charge that's been made against Jews, having dual loyalty.
It's a charge that Osama would like us to make.
Exactly.
He really did that.
But I do think it is also right that it's incumbent upon people from communities that have been voicing extremism and attacking others to lead the speaking out against this, and they haven't done so. Let me say something about Israel, since that was specific. The key issue in Israel has been really timely intelligence. I mean, they have an outstanding human intelligence in these communities that try to attack them, and they've been on the ground rooting out and literally killing terrorist leaders, detaining and killing.
Well, that's what I said when 9/11 happened. My whole point was you have to find the people responsible, the people who sympathize, the people who participate, the people who finance, and kill them. And my feeling is this: if you make your best effort to do that in the name of protecting people, protecting lives, protecting your own people and people abroad, and you make a mistake and you kill the wrong guy, as the
London,
as the British authorities did exactly just recently, I think God will understand that.
Well, in fairness to the British police, I mean, the man was...
He also didn't follow their instructions.
He, as we would say today, inappropriately dressed, as we say in these politically correct times. He also ran from the police.
Yeah,
he was in a rail station.
He didn't follow instructions.
No.
Yes, exactly. I don't think they did anything wrong, frankly.
They were also honest in saying they killed the wrong guy. Police authorities, I don't want to shock anyone, but there have been police authorities who've covered up this kind of killing in the past.
They followed procedure, the suspect did not, and that's what happened. We'll talk some more about this. We have another hour coming up on Beyond the Beltway. Oh, you know what? We have a little bit more time, so let's just get into some of this right now, if we may. Thank you very much, Tom. Tom Veracruz, our producer, telling us we can have another 30 seconds or so. I did want to mention that the British authorities followed procedure, and they did not, the suspect did not follow procedure, and it was an unfortunate occurrence where an innocent person is killed.
I don't want to make light of it.
No, I'm not either.
It's very understandable.
Yeah,
and you're in a situation where everybody's on a hair trigger. I mean, and that's to be expected. If people tell you stop, now's the time to stop.
See, I've made light of the fact, and I ridiculed the fact that earlier in the show that we haven't caught Osama bin Laden, and I'm still deeply disappointed about that. I think it's a big failure of the Bush administration. But I'll tell you, the real work, we don't even know what's happening. They're eliminating people that we don't even know about.
Well, the president was asked about this at a press conference, why haven't you caught Osama bin Laden? And the president told us, because he's hiding. Didn't you know that? So this clarifies the whole matter. The president of the United States, that was his response.
Which of the following statements is not true? Shopping for music online is fun. Shopping for clothes online is fun. Shopping for car insurance online is fun. What do you mean shopping for car insurance online isn't fun? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and in no time at all, you could save hundreds on your car insurance. Now be honest, what's not fun about that? GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Rose Bynum, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on a company with bigger responsibilities.
I believe we have to do more than just develop drugs. We have to try to help people who need them get them. I couldn't work for a company that didn't believe the same thing. I've been at GSK 17 years. Believe me, we're here to help everyone.
To learn about our access programs, call 1-888-825-5249. GlaxoSmithKline.
You've seen it in the newspapers, heard it on the radio, watched it on TV. The good news about Aleve. The good news about the strength and safety of Aleve. That just two Aleve can stop arthritis pain all day. No wonder Aleve is the number one pharmacist recommended pain reliever for the sixth year in a row. Ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Pharmacy Times survey among leading OTC oral medications for minor arthritis pain. Use as directed.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Eva.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skins Inc. is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skins Inc. helps. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't.
After using Skins Inc., it's completely cleared up. Skins Inc. is phenomenal.
I tried Skins Inc., and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skins Inc. at 800-507-5904. That's 800-507-5904. Skins Inc. helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5904. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5904.